Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're tuned in to Stephanie Speaks. I'm your host, Stephanie Cosby. Hello, hello. Happy Sunday. I hope everybody's enjoying their Sunday. It is super hot down here in Panama City, Florida. It's something that probably about in the upper 70s, if not 80 degrees. So it's hot, it's muggy, a little bit of overcast, but the sun was shining earlier. And you see the title of my broadcast is called Don't Box Me In. So we're going to get ready to dive on into that. If you would like to chop it up with me, you can, the call-in number, excuse me, is area code 516-595-8270. The call-in number again is area code 516-595-8270. Or you can always hit me up on the Stephanie Speaks Facebook page wall. The link to the show will be put up as soon as I finish. I don't waste any time. But you see the title of my broadcast is Do Not Block Me In. And this week it was proposed to end food stamps, or EBT as we know it, and replace it with food boxes. That's what this present administration is proposing, to cut those who are on food stamps and to cut costs, to save money, to put more money to misdirect to other things. So they want to go to food boxes. And the food boxes are said to contain peanut butter, which a lot of kids and people have allergies to, beans, processed foods, but there will be no fresh fruits and vegetables in these food boxes. My head almost spun around because I thought about those who are on food stamps and receive them, or SNAP benefits, EBT. They can't even choose what to eat. Now, really, you take the choice away from them because you want to give them what to eat. Some people have food allergies. Some people's children have food allergies. What are you going to do in a case like that? What are you going to do with diabetics? What are you going to do with people who have medical issues and can't eat all of this stuff? And I was just like, really? Because these boxes are supposed to be cost effective. Yeah, right. To me, it's just another way to humiliate the poor. It's just another way to humiliate the poor. And I say that because once upon a time, I went to a food bank at a church. I fell on a rough patch. The benefits that I get just wasn't enough. And I heard from someone, it actually happened when I was in Detroit, and I went to a food bank at a church. And to be quite honest, it was a humiliating experience. It wasn't that I was so prideful, but it is some of that in you, like, dang, I can't even afford to feed myself or my family, and I'm having to go up here and get free food. And you would have to go by a certain time and get in line, or you could go in the sanctuary, it was at a church. And it wasn't that they were preaching to you. They really didn't say too much to you. The people who was organizing it was fine. And you would sit in and wait. You only had to give minimal information. I think your household, and you had to sign in, first name. But that was for the purposes of the government whoever they had partnered up with, to continue to get the food and to be accountable for accounts. It was for nothing else. A lot of the homeless and some people didn't want to fill out anything, and they felt like, no. So some people left. And row by row, you would go to the fellowship hall. The people were packing your boxes, and you would get, like, a meat, a dessert, this, that, and the other, and they would fill your box up, and you would go. Well, just like with anything, of course, a few bad apples had to spoil it. They had to get out there like kids, oh, what do you have in your box? I don't have that in my box. And just doing a trade right there in front of the church. Well, this in turn pissed the pastor off. So the next week or the next time I went, you were getting a lecture. And this is ridiculous because these are grown people with that. So I was happy when my little rough patch was over and I got a chance to stop going. Then I was happy when they actually got rid of the food stamp book. For those of you who don't know, the food stamps were actually in a book. It almost looked like Monopoly money, but there was your stamps, and you spent them. And it was the most humiliating experience ever to be in the store, and you had to pull out that book and pull it out. Everybody knew what it was. When we was in school, if you was on food stamps, the joke was your mama's on food stamps. It was very humiliating. So I was happy when somebody got the bright idea, like, hey, instead of having people humiliated and embarrassed, let's go with the EBT card that looks like a debit card, and people don't know what you're doing. You're swiping your card. It's very anonymous. Only you and the cashier know what it is. unless you have a nosy one like I had in line that was behind me, who was all in my business, and I think I had difficulties or something with my car, and she did not stop until she saw that I had an EBT card, and she had to remark that she wished she could shop like me. Now, mind you, I did not have lobster tails up there. I didn't have the prime cut meat. I had the minimal of stuff to feed my household, and she just felt the need to talk. And actually, I wanted to slap her in her mouth, because you was trying to be funny and condescending. But instead of being condescending about that, the ones who just think that lazy people just get food stamps and we're able to buy all of this food, you need to think about, why is it that people could work, and as they call it, the working poor, and still qualify for benefits? That should bother you more so than a person receiving food stamps. Because if you knew the hoops that you had to jump through to go down there to receive these lovely food stamps, trust me, you would shut your mouth. You would really shut your mouth. And I'm hearing that some farmers are going to be on board to accept EBT or SNAP benefits. So that would give people a chance to get fresh fruits and vegetables in conjunction with their food boxes. And, again, I'm hearing that that's probably going to put the black farmers at a disadvantage, that a lot of them did not receive any help when help came, I think, through the Obama administration with the farmers who was basically bailed out. So people are like, well, where is that going to leave the black farmers? I mean, if it was me, I would go out of my way to find local black farmers and do business with them, not to say solely do business with them. Let's go ahead and clear that up before I get the hate mail and the phone calls. That's not what I said. I said I would go out of my way to do business with them if it was me. And I'm just really, really pissed of those who sit in Congress who have money or maybe have never had to struggle in their lives, that you could be so insensitive because you've never had to use food stamps. You've never been on food stamps. I have a lot of respect for Mayor Cory Booker, former Mayor Cory Booker, who's now Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, who actually went on food stamps. And see, he's seen how hard it was because he found out about food deserts because he's a vegan. So a lot of the crap that's going to come in the food box, he wouldn't even eat because he chose a healthier lifestyle. And he's not going to eat processed foods, but he even found out before this crap was proposed of how hard it is to eat healthy most of the time. There are no neighborhood grocery stores. The stores, I know especially in Detroit, did not have a lot of healthy food choices. They didn't have a lot of organics and stuff like that. So people are going to suffer. But my whole thing to this is let people have some dignity. Stop trying to embarrass and humiliate somebody and demonize them because they're poor or maybe have hit a rough time. I hear all the time from the financial experts, most of us are a paycheck away from being homeless or losing everything anyway. So don't act like that you have it going on because you sit in Congress and you make more than anybody else. What about the rest of us out here? And I say us because it could just as well be me. You have seniors that depend on EBT or SNAP benefits. You have veterans. You have people out here who depend on that, and you want to humiliate them with giving them a food box and basically telling them what to eat. So I'm a little miffed, and that's why the title of my broadcast was Don't Box Me In. Do not take away the choice to at least pick what people eat. Don't take that away from them. Food is a basic need. What, are they not supposed to eat? So that was my rant on that. The next thing I want to touch on, and I can't stay here too long because I will be crying, is the shooting at the high school in Parkland, Florida. I believe it was Douglas High School. That happened actually on Wednesday, which was Valentine's Day, and the shooter was a 19-year-old. I'm not going to give him his defense, but they're saying that he was mentally disturbed young man who went into that school. I'm hearing that he shot his way into the school, pulled the fire alarm to get the kids out of the classroom, and started shooting. He killed 17. He was using an AR-15 rifle. Yes, that's the rifle of choice of most mass shooters. And he blended in with the students to get out of the school once law enforcement and SWAT came on scene. He had the wherewithal to go to Walmart, Subway, and I believe McDonald's, and they caught him at one of the locations. While I'm not trying to set up his defense, I honestly am not sympathetic about his mother passing away from the flu in November. A family took him in because he knew their son from when he was at the school. He bought the gun into their house. They let him because it was his gun that was going to be locked in the gun safe. And that morning he did not go to his adult basic education location. He went up to do that at the school. He was taken alive. We still don't know the motive. They're trying to draw all kind of conclusions. He was angry at his ex-girlfriend for dating somebody else. I don't know, and I really don't care. I just honestly wish that because Florida has the death penalty, that we don't even have to wait around with this. I hate that he has a defense, and I really think that he should be put to death. 17 innocent people are dead because you decide to shoot up a school because of your mental issues. You should have been in treatment. You should have not been able to get that gun. And as a result of this, I almost don't want my child to go to school because as a parent, I feel like I can't protect him. I'm not sure if the procedures that they have in place can be protect him. And I'm just really, really worried right now about all of this. And you still have people that think that it's okay with the gun laws the way it is. Nobody wants to talk about gun control. This is not the time. Our thoughts and prayers, we don't want to hear that. The lady who's 14-year-old, as she went to go see that young lady's body, who she said, my 14-year-old is cold and dead, was shot in the heart. She was shot in the head, and she was shot in the hand. That is not supposed to happen to a 14-year-old. We're going to be sad. We're going to mourn. And this will only take place until the next one happens because it's going to keep happening if something does not change. These procedures has got to change at these schools, and these gun laws have got to change. It's no reason, and I don't care what gun enthusiast gets pissed with me, that you should have an AR-15 rifle. I don't care if you like guns. I don't care if you hunt. That is not a gun that you should have. You don't need it. Military, yes, because that is a weapon for that, or maybe even law enforcement, but not a common everyday citizen and definitely not one that's mentally ill. So until we get sick and tired, until we push back with the NRA, until we stop the bull, this is going to keep happening. You just hope and pray that it's not your child's school. I'm looking at these grieving parents on TV, and it just rips my heart out, and this happens. This happened on Valentine's Day. I almost wondered, did he plan it to be like, I think at one time it was something called the Valentine's Day Massacre, where a lot of people was murdered on Valentine's Day. But you know what also is significant about this? This was Ash Wednesday, which is a religious holiday in the beginning of Lent. We are in the Lenten season where you're supposed to repent and give up some things. It was also National Organ Donor Day, and I had someone, a close friend, to receive the gift of life on that day. So it was a lot happening on February 14th, 2018. And like I say, it saddens me. So I'm getting ready to close. I'm looking at the calendar trying to see what's up and coming this week. Tomorrow is President's Day. School is out in Bay County. There will probably be some government buildings that are closed due to the holiday, and I'm not too sure about mail delivery. So tomorrow is President's Day. I don't know what else is going on. That's about all I can tell you. And I always close my broadcast with love one another. And now more so than ever, hug your kids. Tell them that you love them. Pray over them in the morning, and let's try to make sure that procedures are in place because we've got to stop this willy-nilly either, because I'm wondering how did that shooter get on campus. I'm hearing that he killed a security guard. That's what I'm hearing. Like I said, I don't know. A lot of this stuff is secondhand, but I want you guys to love each other, and I want you to be safe this week. Until the next time, again, my name is Stephanie Cosby, and you just tuned in to Stephanie Speaks. Thank you, and bye-bye.